State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with your friends. Or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing a pic from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, DJ Envy is not here, but we have the legendary Regina Hall in the building. How are you, Miss Hall?
I'm so good. Happy to be here.
How you feeling?
I was good. It's raining in New York. Was ready for some sunny weather.
I've been here all day. I have no idea what's happening.
It's raining.
Outside.
It's kind of coming down.
Well, your hair looks good.
Thank you. Well, you know, that's the good thing about a wig.
Oh, okay. That's a good wig.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah. I didn't even know.
Thank you.
But I was telling you that I went to go see Honk for Jesus in the movies, and I haven't been to the movie theater since before the pandemic, so it was a great experience to go, and for that to be like the first movie I went back to see, it felt good.
Well, thank you for going to the movies, because when I started going back the first time I went, I was like, it's a nice experience. Mm-hmm. Did you get popcorn?
I got Sour Patch Kids, and I went to the IPIC, so I got to order a drink from my seat and everything.
See, nice. you got the one with the seat.
Yeah, I was laid back and everything.
Oh yeah, that is
they give
nice.
You a blanket. That's...
I watched it on Peacock.
Oh, you did that? It all counts?
Yes. Does it change how you approach movies when you do them now, depending on what it's going to be on?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Just if I like it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, this one was an independent.
Okay.
So we did it not knowing, well, if anybody was going to see it, you do pray. But, you know, and then it went through the festival route. And then Peacock and Focus acquired it. They bought it.
This is also
part of your production company, right? RH Negative?
Yes. Yeah, it's the first thing.
Oh. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, we were excited. You know, the Ebo twins, I just like them. They have a nice, I just think they have an interesting point of view about things, especially mm-hmm. right now.
So it was their writing debut also, right, for a feature? Okay, so explain it. So break it all down for us so we know.
So basically the Ebo twins wrote a script. They did a short mm-hmm. before we even came to be. Sent the script. I read the script, loved it, and watched the short. And then they went out and raised the money, basically. And we shot the film in Atlanta. And then after we shot the film, they edited it in a pretty short amount of time. And then we it made it into Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that was it. Focus, Universal. Jordan Peele actually was the one mm-hmm. whose deal is at Focus that loved it. And then Focus Universal ended up.
That's an amazing first look for all of you.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a straight comedy, but then it got real dark a little bit. Like, what did you think when you saw the script?
I know. I thought it was going to be I thought a lot of things probably, mm-hmm. but there was a point where you read it and you're like, oh, it's funny. And then it just starts taking turns
mm-hmm.
That are really, oh, look, it's so weird. I got deja vu because I just saw you. And then it does get dark. But I was happy that it has something to say.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That was important.
What's your experience with church growing up?
So my grandmother went to a Baptist church. So in the summers, I would go to a Baptist church. But my mother raised us in like a non-denominational, like really kind of quiet church because she had grown up in the South in Baptist churches. So I love singing in churches. Like, I love to go. I've been to every church in L.A. If it's a church in L.A., I've been there. Because I like it.
Why can't you find a church home, Ms. Hall? Why are you church
hopping? You know what? I have. Because sometimes I would like the singing, maybe not the message.
Got
sometimes
you.
I would like. There was one church, I loved it. But, you know, the neighborhood, it was a lot of members were gang members. And so she was really preaching to people trying to get out the gang.
Yeah. We were just talking about that.
And I was like, me and my friend used to be like, I don't know if this message is for us. So then, you know, it's kind of finding what resonates.
Mm-hmm. I really have to know, did you have any reservations when you first read the script? Because religious folks don't play about church and religion and Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. So did you have any reservations because of that?
Well, I mean, I think we knew that there were going to be people and groups who were not necessarily going to enjoy the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I think I like the world and the character. And I mean, I think that's a part of what, you know, art has the ability to do. So, you know, I mean, I thought they came from a very respectful place.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those are issues that churches have faced publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Privately, so it's not like we expose something, but I guess it maybe hasn't been done in a movie. But yeah, I mean, I certainly was aware that there could be, I mean, Sterling too, but I think because we both do respect the church,
mm-hmm.
we felt like it was at least coming from a place of good intention.
I saw a lot of people tweeting, this is Oscars worthy, and this is Regina Hall's Oscar moment. What did you think about that? Did you see all of that as it was trending on social media?
God. You know I'm not on Twitter, so it's horrible. It's not on my phone. I'm not good on social media, but that is so nice to hear. Actually, my one of my friends called and said, baby, it's doing well on Twitter.
You did a phenomenal job in that, though, I have to say, as Trinity was your character.
Yeah.
But seeing how you were able to flip from being like the first lady in the church to being angry, to telling somebody go fuck yourself, to saying God bless you, you know, in the span of just a few seconds. I mean, I thought you did an amazing job. How did you feel while you were playing this role? And how did you even prepare for it?
You know, I did tell, there's a lot of information in like with First Ladies Online, YouTube. They have a lot of shows. I spoke to some, but they do have shows and some more prominent First Ladies. I looked at a lot of their stuff and I read a lot of stuff. I mean, I just did research. I think I did feel like when I watched them, they had a, you know, it's all, well, you're married,
mm-hmm.
sir, right? So we will never know what your wife does to support you. But mm-hmm. I'm going to assume it's a lot, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So 100%. I just think it's that idea that, like, you might not see what a spouse, in this case, a first lady of a church, does for the support when her, you know, man is facing public kind of difficult situations. But then they also have a real issue. And then, of course, she has her relationship to God. And mm-hmm. I think that's why she feels very committed to the covenant of marriage.
That's the only part that felt unrealistic was that I don't give too much away, but there was never a moment where he was worried about you, it mm-hmm. seems like. Mm-hmm. It was just always about him. In the church.
Very narcissistic.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever dealt with anybody like that?
I don't think it's ever been that extreme, that extreme. But I mean, I guess it depends on points people are at in their life. You know, I mean, I've had really nice people. I'm friends probably, I would say, with everyone mostly that I've dated.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, there was one who was a little bit, like, now that I think about it, there was one, but we're friends now, so it's fine. But yeah, he was like, I didn't get it when you were saying it. I didn't get it. You know, it took him like 2 years. Has that happened to you?
For him to
really be like, oh, I didn't really grasp the magnitude of what I did.
You know what? I do have an ex-boyfriend who, this thing that I've been working on, I actually interviewed him about why he used to do the things that he did. And we never even had a conversation about it when we broke up, but it was interesting to hear what he had to say and for him to hear what I had to say.
Right. Yeah, sometimes it's perspective and you have to get a little bit of distance away from it.
Yeah. You think you could stand by a man who had those, like, specific allegations?
No.
Well, Regina couldn't.
No.
Regina couldn't. Yeah.
That bedroom scene, I was like,
oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
I know.
No, man.
I know. That was sad, right?
It was sad. Laying there mad as hell.
Yeah, unfulfilled.
Can we do it the other way this time? Like, what?
I know. Right. You're right. But I really think that she thought this is the crossroad he's facing. We can pray this away. And then you saw the scene with her mother. I think that was the reason she felt compelled to have
in church. You feel like you can't get a divorce. Like, it's the worst thing. My grandfather used to tell my mom all the time, like, no matter what, divorce is wrong. You have to stay married.
It's
once
true.
You get married, it's forever.
They feel like it could divide the church, you know? And then, like, so sometimes even if they're living separate lives publicly, they'll just stay together.
But that's the beauty of the movie. The beauty of the movie shows that you can be human.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are still human even though you're the pastor and the first lady.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, listen, if, you know, he has his things that I don't even want to say he struggles with, because that makes it seem like it's something bad. He has his reality of who he is that he just can't, because he can't ever really live out. Because
publicly.
Right.
But he can't stop.
But he can't stop himself. And, like, maybe if he were allowed to do him, they would have been best friends. She would have met somebody else that was more appropriate, and then he would have met someone who was more appropriate, and then they would have gone to dinner together. And you wouldn't have had the bedroom scene.
Listen, can you imagine that? Now, picture this in real life, Regina.
No, even when I read the bedroom scene, I was like, this is worse than doing a love scene. Like, it was more awkward for us to do that scene than if we had done, like, a hot and heavy scene. Just because of the subject matter and the dialogue. It was sad because they, you know.
She wasn't getting no less. Yeah. She'd lay there mad because that would piss you off.
Oh, I mean, yeah. And that's the reality of how it was always happening.
That was Oscar worthy. The look of disappointment on your face after you did what you did to him.
And then he slept good.
Just went to bed.
He did. No shame.
None.
No. Yeah.
And then I also was thinking, and I might have been reading too deep into this, but all the scenes with the different hats, you know, and I was like, she wears a lot of different hats, too.
Oh,
But I was like, they might not have been thinking like that, because
no, but I'm going to use it. We'll be like, well, the hats symbolize the many different hats. No, but it is, I mean, the hat was symbolic of her finally, oh, look at Kevin, of her finally making that decision at the end that she would have boundaries.
The nerve of that nigga. They're telling you about your hat.
He said it made me look old.
Oh, God damn.
I know, he said it.
I actually did feel kind of bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, for, you know, just because to have had such a successful mega church, and we've seen it happen time and time again, where these mega churches, the scandal happens.
And then,
I mean, we've had people up here who have experienced that in real life. You know, and then everything falls down that you built for so long. It's a hard thing because, you know, the designer clothes, the $3,000 hats, yeah, all of those
the
things.
Houses, the cars. Houses,
the cars.
My favorite thing was when they had the Stay Humble sign. I was like,
what do you think about like pastors and their wives making that much money? Because at the same time, you know, you should be entitled to have nice things. But he's like, the jets, you know, all of those things, the cars, the luxury automobiles, the homes, it's excessive.
Yeah, you know, church is a full-on culture. I think if you buy into that culture, you will, you know, I mean, I know pastors used to certainly believe that the only way they could spread the word was, but this is pre-internet, so you can spread it differently now. I don't know if you have to have the planes. But I mean, I always, you know, I would hope it's balanced by helping their communities, you know what I mean? And people in their congregation, people who go to church who need, I don't know, mortgage payments or lights or, you know, people with kids. So I would imagine you'd have to see how someone balances their excess with, you know, with the needs of like neighborhoods. You know, can you build a library as opposed to get another jet or something for the, you know, people in your community who are lacking in something, whether it's a grocery store. Like, it would be nice to see it actually go into congregations and communities as well.
Yeah, I mean, Bishop T.D. Jakes definitely does that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So some people, when there are pastors who do that, then that's great because you're actually seeing, you know, the fruits dispersed. And if they live well, I mean, it then, you know, it's okay. But I do think it can't be, as long as it's not one-sided.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the scene of Trinity and her mom. And I was thinking about that because I think the question was, she said she kept going back to the Bible to pray for her marriage. You asked her how long, and she basically was like, until he died. Do you think that the Bible clouds like our natural instincts and decision-making skills sometime?
I mean, you know, I think there's interpretations. And if you do believe that marriage is a covenant, then people are like, you do not break that covenant, because the covenant involves God. It's also like you married God, right? And you married the church. I mean, it was such a big deal. I mean, as we talk about it, in the royal family, because, you know, the church and state. So it's, you know, it's complicated, because what one person, because a belief is your faith, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's hard to say to someone that's not true if it's what you really believe. Like, do you believe that? Like, would you divorce under any circumstance?
I believe in for better or worse, but how worse? Like, how bad is the worst? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they had a pretty worse. Mm-hmm. But I think she thought they could pray that away.
Yeah.
She's like, I thought it was over, but... Mm-mm.
And I feel like when you read the Bible, like, even God gets fed up at certain points.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I agree. I just think it's like some people think about how it looks on the outside. I just, you know, it's tough. And it depends on the generation. I think her mother's generation definitely was like, you don't divorce. You do not divorce.
Under any circumstances.
As a public figure for you, how much pressure is it for you when you think about how people look at you from the outside? Like how much you put out there for people to know about you personally?
I mean, I think I'm instinctively private. Like, it comes natural to me. But, you know, I just grew up in a different generation where, you know, you did you and nobody knew. I mean, it's just how I lived. So it's just how I am. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I've had to, like, be forced to think about it. I mean, I've had stuff that, I will say this, I've had stuff that's very wrong, you know. Usually the right stuff people don't know. Like, there's like this thing. The only reason I don't even address, especially dating stuff, I don't address it. But there's one that I would clear up, and I only clear it up because it was untrue and because it was untrue and he's not here. And that was like Chadwick Boseman, and that, like, I ran into him at Vanity Fair party, and people assumed we dated, and his fiance was right behind us, and they got married, and they're married, and he was never inappropriate, and like, only if it's someone that, if it's like, if there was something like and I saw you, and like, because you're married, I've met your wife. Mm-hmm. I always like that to be clear, because I would never want a, I would never, if that happened to me before. Mm-hmm. Crazy story is I was going, it was me and two friends, and I was campaigning for Obama to become president in his first term. And there was a gentleman who was with us, like, you know, a part of the Nevada Democratic thing, and he was great. And we had to go to three places, and then, like, I didn't realize it, and my feet were hurting, and so I was like, can you get me some, I'd never campaigned, and he got me, he went around the corner and got, like, flip-flops, mm-hmm. and he got three pairs just because we were annoying. It was me and Sanan, our friend Lee, and he was just like, he didn't want to keep going back to the store, so he got three pair for me, like, they were $5 each, and I was like, oh, I said, you got three, he's like, they're $5 each, and then I think we went to a party to campaign, and I was like, are you gonna dance? And he's like, I'll dance when Obama wins. And then we went to a church, and we were talking about churches, and he was saying something about a church that he was like, what his issue was, and he was almost a pastor at one time. And I was like, oh, so were you celibate? And he looked at me, and I was like, oh my goodness, were you a fornicator? And he said, what does that even mean? And I said, someone who has sex before marriage. And he said, I know what that means. I said, well, I said, what do they call men who had sex before marriage? And he said, men. And so we had a whole thing. But anyway, the 2 days before Obama, the day Obama was elected, he had a heart attack and passed.
No.
But the week before that, he sent me an email. Emails. The email involved all of us that were there. But the email said, I wrote, thanks so much for all of my expensive shoes.
Oh.
Right?
It was
and
a
then,
joke.
And I said, you'll always be my favorite fornicator. And then he wrote back, is the pot calling the kettle black? And then he said something, or I said something like, I think I said, you owe me a dance, because Obama was winning. His wife found those.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was a very faithful man. He did not try. There was nothing inappropriate in his behavior. I actually saw pictures of his wife. He told us, he was like, if he doesn't win this election, my wife is going to kill me. It was, and...
Is that why he had a heart attack?
And she didn't, no, he had a heart attack.
Oh.
He just was driving, going to pick up. And his wife found that, and we did talk to her, but I just think sometimes for women, I just always want them to know that, like, you know, not even me, but it wasn't her man's.
Right.
You know, so it's not even the man's get down. If I see you, you know, I want him to be like, you know, like, he didn't try anything. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking. So only in those situations mm-hmm. when I'm like, then there's a spouse, because I just think as a wife, it's not.
I can see how that email, though.
That's
out of
a
context,
very specific
out
email.
Context,
yeah, that one is like, I don't even know how you explain that one.
Oh, my goodness. And it was.
What
when,
does she
and
mean?
I, and my boyfriend at the time, I was like, what should I do? And he's like, she's upset. She's found the emails. You got to let it just wait. But I did tell her. Mm-hmm. And it was an email chain. And I think Sanaa wrote back and was like, oh, no, it was a joke. But of course you're going to say it's a joke.
Yeah.
Right?
And she probably was hurting already.
Of
and
course.
So that just added
and
on
she
to
thinks,
it.
So that's why I'm always conscious for, you know, people in relationships.
I never heard the one with you in Chadwick. You don't hear nothing about you. Like, you clean out here.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Got to create something.
Yeah.
Oh, and they will make up some stuff. Don't think they won't.
I know. But when there's something wonderful to share, I will.
What realization? I can't talk about the movie without talking about the movie. But what realization do you think Trinity came to at the end of the movie?
I just think she realized that she's got to stand up and have some boundaries for herself.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was something about the end when he was like, "They're here for me." I think she mm-hmm. realized her husband was like selfish. Like, not that she didn't, but she just saw like he has not seen anything that I've done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Did you feel like that?
Because I felt like even when you were critiquing it and like, do it again. No, that was we didn't feel that. I was like, that is, you know, just the fact that your whole life really did revolve around him.
Yeah.
And that church. And then you see the other couple and they're up there preaching together.
Right.
And there's such a disparity between the relationship that you guys had and the relationship that they have, where they were really like equals you know, finishing each other's sentences, supporting each other, both up there together as a couple. And then we see you guys.
Even though I know they opened that church, that they did it on purpose.
Oh, they definitely did it on purpose.
Yeah, it was. I don't believe them at all. Yeah, I don't believe them. No, I think that is a thing, too. It's also like that generation of like we can co-pastor together. It doesn't have to be First Lady. I think for Trinity, she just, you know, everybody has roles in relationships, right? At some point. I just think sometimes, I think when she was out there on the street miming, she realized that her role
that was wild.
Yeah, her role was more reduced every day. And like, she didn't think that it would get there.
Mm-hmm.
Did she step out also?
See, that's where I thought it was going.
Oh.
In the beginning.
I felt like there was a point where it felt like, did she step out too?
No, she didn't.
I was confused about that because I felt like they alluded to it at one point.
That's what I thought too, because in my mind, I was like, hey, they're not going to do that. That would be too predictable, right? Yeah. If it was just him, I mean, and the twist was good.
Yeah.
I just thought of him with some women, but it's just like, I was like, she must have stepped out. It might be her.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was going.
No, she didn't step out. She really loved him. You know, she does love him. He just
has no attraction to her. She's not his type.
I could not understand that. I literally said that to myself like 5 or 6 times. Uh-huh. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, that's Regina Hall. What are you doing?
He was like, nobody's. And I have to say, Sterling, he's so much fun. And he's so funny. Like, totally just came and like embodied that character, you know, on the page. And like, during the actual filming of the scene, we were both like this. He was like, this is terrible. You know, he felt bad that he had to do it as a character. But yeah, I think they have a complicated relationship.
And it feels like,
what would you say are Trinity's flaws? Because we can see his
up
close, and I could tell you what I think, but what would you say her flaws are? Like, what did you...
The Bible.
Yeah, well, that, and Trinity likes the lifestyle too. Mm-hmm. I mean, just as much as he does. And she really... You know, she likes all the attention of being on the stage and with people, you know, like that one sermon where he's saying he's got the beautiful wife and the gorgeous Bugatti. Like, she definitely, she likes it. The car, like, she's bought
into it.
Not
giving that up.
She's not giving that up, too. So I think anytime you're, like, attached to that material world to that degree, you will sacrifice something.
Mm. Have you ever stayed in a relationship for moral reasons?
No. That's a good question. I'm trying to think if I have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
I really think that's something regulated to just religious people.
Yes,
I really do.
But you know, I think if I were married and had kids, that would make a 90% difference.
Yeah.
Because I would want my children with their father. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would probably, you know, work through a lot, I think, if I had children. Wouldn't you?
I would think so, because it's not just that, too. I think the support system.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know how that dynamic will change if you're not in the same household. Is
and
he
how
gonna
it would
still,
affect them.
Yeah. Hold up to his responsibilities for some women financially.
And can he? Because now you might, you know, because now it's like it's two households and the kids, whereas if you're pooling together. So it's just, you're just thinking about something so much bigger than yourself.
I don't want my kids around other women.
Right. You have to think of like stuff, like you have a lot of things you have to consider and like, and like, you know, maybe where they're going to have to go to school. Are you moving? Are you, you know what I mean? It's just a lot.
So are they spending holidays with?
How do you split that up?
Yeah.
But environment and energy matter too, though. So you don't want your kids in a hostile household.
That's good.
Sometimes people feel like we don't argue in front of the kids. They have no idea, but they don't know that
their kids feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I know plenty like that too. I have friends who are like, I wish my parents would have gotten divorced. I just think it depends. But I still know instinctively I would probably try really hard if I had kids.
So in what ways do you relate to Trinity?
Well, you know, I think that's not to say I have not been in relationships and tried.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I think, what's that quote? Women stay too long, men leave too soon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've definitely...
I mean, I've never heard it, but it sounds good.
It sounds good, right? I've definitely I've definitely stayed and tried to work through stuff that, in retrospect, I'm like, well, that was the first sign right there. Yeah, you should have known it wasn't going to work. But, and so I understood that. I understood that connection to faith and like really believing something, wanting to believe something, mm-hmm. and just that connection to being strong. But I really, honestly, it was the understanding of the first ladies that I studied that resonated with me the most.
Was there anything that you, anything new you learned about religion and maybe your own faith by doing this film?
My own. Well, you know, I always believe the church is human. Wherever there's human people, there's room for growth. Right? Mm-hmm. So I already believe that, but I mean, there is a beauty in the church too. You know, both exist, right? Mm-hmm. Like every coin has a flip side. Mm-hmm. We shot a lot in that church, and it's a beautiful church.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and so it's complicated. There you do feel something. You know what I mean?
There were even people that came up like, "You really changed my life."
And you know, when we were on the side of the road, those honks were real. Like, they didn't realize it was us. They didn't realize it was us. Yeah, and you couldn't see the camera crew because they were in the back or across the street. So those honks were real. So, you know, you connect, especially in this time in the world, right, with everything going on. You want to believe in something. So I understood it. And there was a really quiet beauty to that church in the ground. So, I mean, I think that always stays with me.
So how you feel about cursing on them grounds? How'd that make you feel?
I know. She lost it. You know what I mean?
It's interesting, though, because it felt like a pilot, because it feels like it's so much more to explore with those characters. Like, when it was over, I was like, nah, they can't end like this. I need to see more.
I know.
That ending was so sudden. I was like,
yeah, it just, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the idea they wanted to leave with is things definitely won't be the same.
Right.
I mean, I think we saw that Heaven's House was really crowded.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had the Devout Five. The Devout Five will not
be five people here.
Yeah, you know, there was a tweet that said the only unrealistic thing about the movie was the congregation leaving after the scandal. Because they were like the congregation.
Oh, yeah. Do they not leave, though? Have there been somewhere they've left?
So,
well,
man.
You know, I think also part of it was that you guys were closed for
a period of time.
Oh, yeah.
And then
they
had to find someplace else to go. And when you close like that and
everybody migrates
somewhere else, now you've.
They found a new church home because we had been closed for a year. Because he was under investigation.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what are they supposed to do for a year?
Yeah, they went on over to Heaven's House.
Now, how do you feel with this being like one of your first projects from behind the cameras, as well as, you know, being in front of it? But do you just feel like amazing about the reception that it's getting? I mean, it's gotten amazing reviews.
I mean, yeah, I'm always excited when a project is received well, period. I mean, that's just that's like just the honest part of me. You know, nobody wants to read something that's like it was garbage. Although there are people who feel that way.
Right.
Right. So, you know, there are going to be people who aren't going to like it and people who are going to like it. That's just part of life. But yeah, it's just nice when you take a risk. Right. Because it's a risky subject matter. It's a risky project to do. And there's just a group of people like you guys that like it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference. So I was excited, you know, like I was excited that even when just Sterling said, I was really excited when it sold. I was so scared. I was like, if we got these girls, they done raised all this money. What if they don't? What if they're like, we're not buying it? Right. So when it sold, I was happy. And so the support is like, that's just like amazing.
I actually want to see more. I think it should be a series.
You think it should be a series?
Absolutely.
Because they got to try to come back.
With more than just little Aria. That was probably one of my favorite things, little Aria, when she says, I love the theater.
Would you do a series if the opportunity presented itself?
For this? I mean, you know, I'm doing another series, so I miss my old series, to be honest. I miss my Black Monday because I loved my cast so much.
Mm-hmm.
I loved my cast. But, like, I think the girls have talked, the Adama and Adane, they talked about doing it as an adult. I know it sounds weird, animation series.
Oh.
Okay, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
That could be funny.
Yeah, because then they could take it places.
Got you. Why didn't Black Monday was on Showtime, right?
It was on Showtime.
With Don Cheadle. Why didn't they bring that back?
I guess enough people weren't watching it. Yeah. I think they're watching it now, though. Yeah. So funny. Now I have many people who are like, I love this. They'd like discover it later.
Yeah, that happens. There's just a lot of content out there, too.
It's a lot of content.
It feels like there was a black gold rush, like around the COVID and George Floyd thing. And then it feels like they kind of shut it off a little bit.
Really? They waned?
Yeah.
Really? There's so much content.
I've been discovering things now that, like, I've been watching the show Flappish Misdemeanors on Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
That's
I
HBO.
Binged that, huh?
That's Showtime.
It's Showtime?
No,
it's
Showtime.
It is?
It's on Showtime.
Oh, wow.
I watched the whole entire thing, like, in 2 days. It was so good. Yeah. And I'm from Flappish, so.
And see, that's another hard thing, too, is with there being so much content, like, people discover it in its second and third season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't necessarily catch it in the first season, unless you're going to put like tons of money into advertising.
I feel like you have a lot coming out at the same time right now too.
Yeah. It's totally accidental too, the timing of it, because Me Time came out and it just was like not even, you know, who knew? That happens a lot. And people are like, oh, you're always working, but sometimes it's just the timing of release.
So what's next for RH Production? RH Negative.
RH Negative. Oh, we have, I can't even talk about it, to be honest, but I have three things in development: a Showtime, and then a film that we're shopping right now. Hopefully, someone will, it's another unique one, but I'm very excited about that one. And we just like sent it out. We've had a couple of passes, to be honest, but because it's a risky one, but it's also really good, I think. I think it's really good.
That's always good when you take those risks and they pay off.
I mean, yeah. If you know, the great thing about stuff like this is you can either go the studio route or, you know, you can do like the girls and you can go and do the independent route.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go streaming and stuff like that. But the other projects are television shows. Hmm. Yeah. Too limited.
That's I'm highly disappointed that you and Sterling K. Brown had to learn the words to the Negro spiritual.
Oh my gosh.
Nuck If You Buck.
Not learn the words. We never heard it.
What?
I mean, Nuck If You Buck is really a big song.
That's what I'm saying.
You're black, Regina Hall.
It's embarrassing.
This is a Negro spiritual.
That's what I found out.
You didn't know that?
Aren't you from D.C.?
But I was in L.A. by then. I don't know if it was.
It was in L.A.?
Or was it?
This is literally like a black national.
Was it in the club?
Yes.
That's why I didn't hear
This is a Negro spiritual. Like, this is up there with, like, you know, a Juvenile, Back That Ass Up.
And what song is that? No, I'm joking.
This is up there with God Is Good.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't know how we missed it.
Both of you, not just one, not like one.
Yes. Both of us. I mean, I was like, what song is that? I didn't know it. I think I had gotten out. The club days ended. I was so early for me.
This song is 18 years old.
It was over by then.
She's working. I never randomly see Regina Hall in a club somewhere.
I know it was over. I think it stopped for me in my 20s. You know why?
I seen Regina in a club before.
You did? Which one was it?
You was in Cannes. So that means that don't count.
Yeah. Event. Yeah.
That was an event. I know. That was fun.
That was very fun.
That was very
fun. And Nucky P. Buck played that night.
I stayed 25, 30 minutes. I was gone.
In and out, baby.
I had my mask on, and Yvonne Orchard was there making fun of me.
Yep.
And I got COVID.
No.
Oh, my God.
I went, yeah, with
you
want to
hear something
on.
Funny? Last time I saw Yvonne Orchard, she hit me the next day like, girl, I done tested positive for COVID.
So Yvonne out here being a super spreader.
Wait,
it's her.
It was a while ago.
She looked at me and said, it's already in the mask. You got it. And then I was like, Yvonne, stop. And I did have it.
Wow.
But none of my other team got it. Nobody, my hair, makeup, all of us, we were the four people in masks. They didn't get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how that works?
How long did it take you to learn the song?
Like, my little verse, like two or three days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you sang the part.
Yeah.
That's the part that turns everybody up.
Yeah. No, that's what...
That's Princess.
My assistant in Atlanta was like, well, you got to really sing her.
That's right.
And the crew stayed extra. They were like, because it was a night shoot. And they were like, we want to stay and watch y'all do it. I said, this is real for them. This is real. I felt like we had a responsibility. And so
How much flack have you gotten for admitting that you didn't know Nuck If You Buck?
I know. I know, and I can't even undo it.
Issa going to be so disappointed in you.
I know. But I know it now. I know it now. That's what I learned. When people say what I learned from Trinity, it's Nuck If You Buck.
See?
That's what I learned.
That's God.
Yeah, I learned the black, the other, one of the other Negro spirituals.
Yes.
Yeah,
not good.
Do you know Light Tear the Club Up? What about some Lil Jon from the
Window? Oh, I know Lil Jon, yeah.
No, you know him, but do you know him?
Okay.
There you go.
What's the next line?
To the wall.
Sweat dropped down my ball.
There you go. That's a Negro spiritual, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like the way you did balls,
No, ski. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why when I hear that word, I can't help it.
Balls.
It's like I have to.
I got to grab some imaginary action, balls.
Yeah, the action is just, it comes with the word. That happens every now and then with certain words.
At least you didn't do this.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Well, now that's medication. Something's wrong. we got to take him to the doctor.
Well, Regina Ball, thank you.
Man. Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul is in theaters and screaming on Peacock right now.
A great movie.
Now.
Please, y'all, make sure you watch that movie. I'm so excited because what you're going to do with your company, too, is give so many up-and-coming people a chance.
Absolutely.
And I know that's so important to you. So congratulations.
Yes, thank you. And congratulations over here.
Oh, thank you.
So this is and your show. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes, ma'am.
Y'all are. Yeah.
I saw Regina Hall the day that I announced my new show.
Yes.
I had to hop on a flight and go to Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
And be on a panel with Regina Hall. I was like, what a way to celebrate.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. Everyone's excited too, and everyone loves your show. I mean, it's an exciting time for people to have like
the balls to do.
Yeah, the balls, right? And the opportunity to do like more. You know what I mean? Just more.
Do you feel like black people in this business are finally getting their just due?
I think there's more opportunity, right? And I think as we are adding voices behind the camera, whether it's producing or writing, you know, it's getting the reality, the like real voices that we don't see. I think what happens is we end up seeing the one, like if one thing is a success, we see 5-10 versions of that, and then it feels like it's not a complete right version of the reality of a people, of a race, and so it's been hard to show the spectrum of that, but I think now it is getting better. You know, I don't think we should say we're getting, it's in motion, and I think before it wasn't necessarily in motion, but I think it's in motion.
You think wokeness ruined creativity in Hollywood?
I think I still need to know what the word means. I'm like, what does it really mean?
I feel like people don't use it anymore.
Yeah. I'm so glad
they
don't.
It came and went.
It did, right? It was supposed to mean like you were like aware.
I guess, yeah, for me, I guess it's like you always have to have some bigger message in your art, so to speak.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you know, sometimes shit is just entertaining.
Right? That's right.
You know, and I think that's great, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's a spectrum. So, yeah, I guess it's many things. That's why so many people need to be doing stuff, because everybody has like what you're going to do is different than me or her or, you know, and it's like, but we need that perspective, too. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So everyone who has a perspective that at least is like, I don't know, you can tell that they've contemplated on things or experienced things, you know, or have things that they feel compelled to share. I mean, it's always nice, you know.
Yeah, because sometimes I enjoy watching Tubi.
Yeah.
Some of those movies, those independent films.
That's the thing. Sometimes it's like, it's just, you know, I just want to be entertained. I don't want to think, I want to laugh. I don't want to always have, you know, messaging. So I think it's, you know, you need both. Sometimes I want a documentary or a silly comedy. You know,
just grab it by the ball.
Yeah.
Well, Regina Hall, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Building with you. Make sure you check out Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul in theaters and streaming
also
on Peacock
check out
right
Me
now.
Time. She's starring in that also.
Yes. Shout out to Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell was up here and said Regina Hall plays the wife and Beast? Because they got it wrong. Who was that? I was like, what?
That is funny. Is there a wife and Beast?
I don't even know. I haven't seen
Beast. I
think
she was dead.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But then they corrected themselves and said me time. I was like, huh?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, shout out to Beast.
It's Regina Hall. It's the Breakfast Club.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.